friend of mine, Father de la Poterie, dead now, wrote a two-volume work, the heart of which was this passage in John 17. It is such a gift to us. I'll do my best to open it up a little. You see, this is John reverberating with the Spirit of Jesus and knowing what that prayer meant. You see, Father, keep them in your name. What name is that? Father. See, this is, it way probably is the place most in all of Scripture where we are invited into the life of the Trinity and can hear and feel and see that movement of love within God Himself, which then pours out beyond God, first in redemption, as Jesus poured out His life on the cross, which is, as He says, the world must know I love the Father. So let's go from here. How am I going to let the world know I love the Father? I'm going to spread out my arms on the cross and give my whole life, even my human, physical life. And then you'll see what the depth of our relationship is divine. I've kept them. You gave them to me. And I keep them in your name so that they may be one just as we are one. The name that keeps us one is Father. The Father, medieval theologians have some beautiful, the mystics among them. The Father is the principium deitatis. He's the principle of the deity. They're all equal. This is what goes beyond our... They're all equal, but the Father is the principium deitatis. And so, see, keep them in your name, Father, that you have given me. How did He give the name Father? You see, He doesn't give His name, Father. He gives Himself, and there's a Son who has a Father. You could spend days just asking the Lord to open this up for you, or me, or anybody. You see, keep them in your name so that they may be one. What will make us one? The Father. All our heart, our mind, everything in Christ. There is a rhythm. I'm going to stand over here for a minute, mentally. You see, access, in a way, to this understanding is through the Mother of God, through Our Lady. You know, you entrust your whole life to her, and you tell her, take me, fix me, do whatever you want. You see, so what she does is render us sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's her job. The Holy Spirit, therefore, will form us into the heart of Christ. And when we have the heart of Christ, we love the Father. There's nothing more precious than the Father and His will. That's the rhythm. Okay. I got to watch the time. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. He didn't give the name Father. He gave the reality of Himself. And that's why there's a Son. St. Teresa of Avila, you know, once tells us that once the Lord came and spoke to her for quite a while on life in the Trinity. Wouldn't that be a grace? You know, to just be in awe of this infinite love, selflessness. Okay. I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, because he wanted to be lost in order that the scripture be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you through the cross. I speak this in the world. Why? Why is he praying all this? Why is he opening up for us through the prayer and the mystic John, who had this prayer burned into his heart? Why? You see? So that they may share my joy completely. Isn't that? We're invited into the family of the divine Trinity. And that's our unity. Saint Cyprian has a beautiful phrase: the church is one with the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. The cosmos, the world. Do you remember when I read, maybe you don't, a month or so ago now, Father Moulas' definition of what John means by cosmos? It's that world of refusal and rejection. That's the cosmos. And that's why he says, they don't belong to the world. But I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but rather you keep them from the evil one who manipulates this world and would do nothing better than to destroy them, because he can see what's going to happen. They do not belong to the world. Can the Lord say that about us? They do not belong to the world. If we've let the baptism that plunged us into Christ move us, then we're not part of that system of energy that is refusal and rejection. And the manipulator of that is Satan. In the last few words, oh, we got a few more minutes. Now, our translation uses consecrate. The word is agiazin, probably better, sanctify them. You know, plunge them into yourself. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Why is your word truth? Because your word reveals you. You are the truth. The revelation of the Father is what John means all the time when he talks about the truth. The truth. I am the way and the truth. Why am I the truth? Because I open up the way to understand the Father, who is the truth. And this eschatological, big word, revelation of the truth of the Father, that's the truth. You see. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, because it opens up. See. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I sanctify myself for them, which means I go to the cross. You see. That they may be sanctified in truth. That they may be sanctified in you, and permeated by the reality of the Father, they can preach good news to a world that is plunged in darkness, hatred, fear, ignorance, and now massive murder of infants. You see, they must be consecrated. Sanctified in the truth. They have to be rooted in you. They have to know you. The text will go on. There's more to the text. But this text is a precious gift where John is able to uncover for us the rhythm of life that goes on within God Himself. And what's our response? Seek the face of the Father. Let the Mother of God make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who will bring that totally Father-centered heart of Christ into you. And then you're sanctified in the truth.